RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. PT Pertamina to launch Pertalite after it. Indonesian President gives instruction to immediately build LRT project. Indonesian religious minister visiting Saudi Arabia for Hajj preparation. Now the news in detail. PT Pertamina will launch the RON 90 fuel, so-called Pertalite, a week after the Eid holiday. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto sat at the Senayan East parking area on Sunday. Dwi explained that Pertalite was not merely a program to replace premium, but also to provide public with an alternative of better quality fuel. According to Dwi, each of the fuel type has its own characteristics. Pertalite serve as an alternative for public. Pertamina continues to introduce Pertalite to public and gas station to familiarize them with the new product. Pertamina Marketing Director Ahmad Bambang said Pertalite would be sold for ₹8,500 per liter, which is slightly higher than the RON 88 fuel price and lower than the RON 92 fuel price. As an initial stage, Pertamina has prepared 500 kiloliters of Pertalite that will be distributed to 109 gas stations in Jakarta, Bandung, and Surabaya. President Joko Widodo asked the ministers immediately to form Jabodetabek Transportation Authority. President Joko Widodo said the agency's presence could accelerate the construction and development of transportation in Jakarta and its satellite towns in the vicinity. The president said when opening a closed meeting to discuss mass transportation in the president's office on Monday. The president explained further. After Jabodetabek Transportation Authority was established, the development of transport became the full responsibility of the institution. Thus, the decision to construct or expand transportation project could be taken at the level of institutions. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo also instructed the minister to immediately start the project Light Rail Transit or LRT, which will connect Jakarta and surrounding cities. If it does not immediately begin, the construction costs will soar many times because land prices continue to rise and more difficult to find land. That said, Joko Widodo already proven in the case of mass rapid transit project that was built decades late. Indonesian religious minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin is visiting Saudi Arabia to watch 2015 Hajj preparation. Republika reported on Monday. During the visit, the ministry and Muassasah, the private organization appointed by government to help Hajj process of Southeast Asia, agreed to increase some services for Indonesian pilgrims in Arafah and Mina. Lukman Hakim Saifuddin left for Saudi Arabia Saturday to have some meeting with related parties. The Workforce Social Security Agency said the revision of government regulation on retirement fund disbursement will not affect the agency's finances. The agency's president director, Alvin Masaya, said the company will not suffer a deficit with the change in the regulation. the government regulation on retirement fund reaped protests soon after it was passed in early July, as it stipulates that workers can only withdraw 10% of the fund after 10 years of membership. It also regulates that full withdrawal is only available after the worker is 56 years old. Another option is to disburse 30%, but only for home purchase down payment. A public outcry surfaced asking for a full disbursement for workers that got fired or decided to resign. Following public protests and pressure from the House of Representatives, DPR, President Joko Widodo then ordered Labor Minister Hanif Dakiri to revise the rule in 2 days. However, the agency's head of communication division, Abdul Holik, said that too frequent withdrawals will have indirect effect on the agency's fund management. The BPJS currently manages its fund through 5 instruments, including mutual funds, stocks, bonds, and deposits. West Java Health Agency has deployed 2 more mobile ambulances along the newly operated Cipali Toll Road. Head of West Java Health Agency, Alma Luciati, said in Bandung over the weekend, based on the discussion with the police and West Java Transportation Agency, ambulances from related agencies have been prepared to be put in Cipali Toll Road, and they will be available 7 days before 8 and 7 days after the 8th day. In the meantime, for the handling of accident victims, the West Java Health Agency has also coordinated with local governments traversed by the toll road, such as Subang and Indramayu. Alma also urged travelers crossing Cipali Toll Road to exercise caution, especially because the toll road is straight and long. The Jakarta authorities have forecast a 3% increase in the number of homebound travelers leaving the capital city to celebrate Eid al-Fitri, or locally called Eid al-Fitri Islamic festivities, with relatives in their hometowns. Edison Sianturi of Jakarta's Population and Civil Registration Office remarked recently, in 2014, the number was more than 3.6 million, and this year it is expected to surge to more than 3.7 million. However, the number does not include those homebound travelers going by motorcycles, three-wheeled vehicles, and those using private cars or taking toll roads, as it is difficult to count them. If they are also accounted for, then the number of homebound travelers from Jakarta could reach around 6.5 million people, he pointed out. The Jakarta authorities have been monitoring travelers at strategic locations such as bus terminals, seaport, railway stations, and airport. In the meantime, the Transportation Ministry has forecast the number of homecoming travelers across the country to increase by 1.9% from 2014. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The State Administrative Court of Jakarta is set to call the case between Indonesian Soccer Association and the Youth and Sport Ministry on Tuesday, July 14th. Earlier today, Legal Director of PSSI, Aristo Panggaribuan, expressed his optimism that his side will win the court. However, he stated his concern that the government will decline the ruling and remain imposing ban to PSSI. He said there is no point in winning the court yet failing to perform on international level. Aristo said, let's hope that tomorrow's ruling can be a great momentum for sport in Indonesia. The frenzy between PSSI and the ministry began when PSSI gave league clearance to Arema Malang and Persebaya Surabaya on April 4th. Previously, the two clubs have failed verification from the Indonesian Professional Sport Agency. As a result, Minister Imam Nahrawi banned PSSI, causing sanctions from FIFA. The last item, the Office of State on Port Authority Pelindo 3 at Tanjung Mas Port in Semarang, Central Java, has prepared free transportation facilities to take Eid al-Fitri sea travelers to several destinations across the province. Pelindo 3 Tanjung Emas General Manager Tri Suhardi said on Sunday, two of the buses, would cover eastern areas, with destinations including Demak, Kudus, and Pati. One bus would cover western areas such as Kendal, Pekalongan, and Pemalang, while another bus would take holiday travelers to Temanggung and Wonosobo in the south. The two remaining buses would transport travelers to Surakarta and Yogyakarta. The buses have started to transport holiday travelers to their destinations, including some of the 1,800 passengers from the KM Kawit vessel that arrived at Tanjung Emas Port from Sampit, Central Kalimantan on Saturday. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. PT Pertamina to launch Pertalite after it. Indonesian President gives instruction to immediately build LRT project. Indonesian religious minister visiting Saudi Arabia for Hajj preparation. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Interpreting Mudik Lebaran or Going Back Home in Lebaran Holidays. Listeners, some residents of Jakarta and several cities in Indonesia have begun to move back to their hometowns to celebrate Eid or Lebaran together and strengthen the relationship with friends and relatives there. Going home or mudik is one of Indonesian urban habits in Ramadan month. Celebrating Eid at the end of the fasting month of Ramadan with the whole big family at home is an agenda that has been planned long before Eid. There is a sense of imperfectness if you don't return home on Eid or Lebaran Day, as popularly known in Indonesia. Despite having to go through some troubles just to be able to gather with loved ones at home. The government, meanwhile, has conducted various programs so that travelers could go home in a safe and comfortable way. PT Jasa Marga, as the biggest operator of toll roads in Indonesia, has stated its readiness to facilitate travelers passing the toll corridors. Traffic density during Lebaran holidays is predicted to rise 10% from last year. To anticipate it, traffic engineering and toll transactions in the 250-kilometer toll road in Java have been prepared. Development of infrastructure was accelerated for the smooth exodus. Other efforts by the government is Mudik Gratis or Going Home for Free program. The program is intended mainly for motorcyclists to reduce traffic accidents. There are at least more than 22,000 travelers going home by sea, with more than 10,000 motorcycles already registered to follow the free trip program. Quoting the head of Public Communication, Ministry of Transportation, this year the ministry has allocated 30 billion rupiah budget for the influx of people, particularly for the land transport, namely trains and buses, as well as by the sea. Especially for those using ships, the ministry has disbursed funds amounting to 18 billion. These funds are taken from the state budget. For security in Lebaran 2015 holidays, the Indonesian National Army has deployed approximately 12,300 soldiers to back up the police force in the field. Meanwhile, the Indonesian National Police have devised various strategies to overcome congestion on the road besides making anticipation steps to reduce road accidents. In addition, traffic police have also set up some new devices such as the use of CCTV and helicam equipped with several applications for mobile phones which can be utilized by public as a guide when traveling back and forth. From year to year, the Indonesian government continues to strive to provide comfort and security for Lebaran holidays. But as in previous years, congestion on the roads, the density of passengers at the railway station and the airport are still visible. However, the spirit of prospective travelers remain high, although they had to queue and wait for a long time. For them, returning home might be the moment to recharge themselves in order to go back to the city with a new spirit. Going home is time to tighten silaturahmi or relationship. Hopefully, Lebaran 2015 will not be used as a moment to show off to relatives of one's economic success, but rather to provide inspiration to local communities. And listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on July 13, 1949, when the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia officially ended. Listener, the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia was established by Indonesian Republicans after the Netherlands occupied Yogyakarta, the location of the temporary Republican capital. It was located in the city of Bukit Tinggi and led by Syafruddin Prawiranegara. The Republic of Indonesia's Strategy Council had prepared an emergency plan to create a government in exile in Sumatra or overseas. Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara, the Minister of Welfare, went to Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra in preparation for this emergency plan. Before being captured by the Dutch, President Sukarno sent a telegraph message to Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara in Bukit Tinggi, giving him a mandate to create a Republic of Indonesia government in exile. But this was not received until 1949. A similar telegraph was sent to Mr. Maramis, Indonesian Minister of Finance in New Delhi, India. Based on the emergency plan after the Dutch invasion on December 22, 1948, Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara established a government in exile called the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia or PDRI in Bukit Tinggi, Sumatra. Syafruddin served as chairman of the emergency cabinet. The leaders of the PDRI or the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia moved around West Sumatra in an effort to evade arrest by the Dutch who wanted to abolish the PDRI. In 1949, the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia or PDRI government contacted the leaders of Indonesian forces in Java and the 6th Republic of Indonesian government ministers in Java who had escaped arrest. Based on the Roemrooyen Peace Agreement on July 13, 1949, Dutch troops were to be pulled out from Republic of Indonesia regions and the Republic of Indonesia leaders were to be freed. The PDRI, or the Emergency Government of the Republic of Indonesia, would therefore no longer be required, and Mr. Syafruddin Prawiranegara disbanded the PDRI and returned the mandate to the President of Republic of Indonesia. And the next event was in 1930, when the FIFA World Cup was firstly held. The 1930 FIFA World Cup was the inaugural FIFA World Cup, the world championship for men's national association football teams. It took place in Uruguay from July 13 to July 30, 1930. FIFA, football's international governing body, selected Uruguay as host nation as the country would be celebrating the centenary of its first constitution and the Uruguay national football team had successfully retained their football title at the 1928 Summer Olympics. All matches were played in the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo, the majority of the Estadio Centenario, which was built for the tournament. In the final, host and pre-tournament favorites Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2 in front of a crowd of 93,000 people and became the first nation to win the World Cup. And the last event was in 2000 when Vietnam and the United States signed the bilateral trade agreement. Vietnam has a long war history with the United States.
After war, normalization of relations between the two countries was carried out 2 years after the Americans left Vietnam. On July 13, 2000, Vietnam and the United States signed the bilateral trade agreement, which was then confirmed on December 10, 2001. This was marked by the exchange of formal letters of agreement between the two sides. Through the trade agreement, U.S. exports to Vietnam increased sharply. The U.S. becomes the largest market for the export of Vietnam in just over 2 years after the implementation of the bilateral trade agreement. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, It's On Indonesia commemorates World Population Day 2015. Stay tuned.
Focus, daily news and events.
On Saturday, July 11, 2015, most of the international community, including Indonesia, commemorated World Population Day. In Indonesia, a few days ago, a seminar entitled Vulnerable Population in Disaster Situations was held in accordance with the theme of World Population Day 2015, which is Protect Vulnerable Population in Disaster Situations. As one of the countries most vulnerable to disasters, Indonesia would need to take precautions to protect the vulnerable population. Humanitarian Program Officer of the United Nations Fund for Population Activities, UNFPA Indonesia, Rosilawati Anggraini, told RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday, July 11, 2015, that the reason for choosing the theme of the 2015 World Population is because of there are a lot of disasters that have occurred in the world and in Indonesia lately, causing many casualties. Disasters both globally and in Indonesia lately are constantly increasing, and based on data from the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, disasters in Indonesia since January 2015 to June has been recorded at more than 1,000. While for the victims from the period from January to June, the number is quite big, with a death toll of about 139 and more than 600,000 displaced people. Since the number of man-made and natural disasters are increasing, the theme of this year is focused on disaster management, more precisely related to the vulnerable groups in disaster situations. Furthermore, Rosilawati Anggraini explained that the data released by the UN in 2014 states that the number of people forced to flee due to disasters reached 60 million, and most of them are women, children, and teenagers. Meanwhile, Director General of Protection and Social Security Ministry of Social Affairs, Andi Zainal Abidin Dulung, in Vulnerable Population in Disaster Situation seminar held in Jakarta recently, said that Indonesia, with 254 million people, is the fourth largest population in the world after China, India, and the United States, and 25 million of them belong to disaster's vulnerable groups. From this data, we assume 10% of the population are vulnerable communities. It is no less than 25 million people in Indonesia. We could see some examples from Mount Sinabung's eruption, which is still ongoing. Mount Sinabung is located in Karo, North Sumatra. The number of displaced people has reached 3,150 families, or 10,604 people, including elderly, pregnant women, infants, and toddlers. It shows the number of vulnerable groups in disaster situations need special attention. Andi added that until now, the Indonesian government continues to strive to accelerate assistance through the Family Welfare Card Program, Healthy Indonesia Card, and Smart Indonesia Card.
The Third Card program is intended not only for the general public, but also the people in the shelters. Based on data from the National Disaster Management Agency in 2014, there were 1,559 disasters in Indonesia, resulted in 490 deaths and affecting the lives of 2 million people. World Population Day is celebrated on July 11th each year, which is inspired by the day when the world population is set to reach 5 billion on July 11th, 1987. World Population Day aims to highlight global problems related to population issues. Listener, that was Focus.
Listeners, here are headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta Today, Monday, July 13, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily. In its headline, the daily writes, Pejagan becomes the center of traffic congestions. Pejagan intersection at Tanjung Sab District, Brebes Regency, Sarajawa Province, has become the center of traffic congestions during homecoming trip in the northern coast of Java on Sunday, July 12. The condition is estimated to continue until the peak of homebound trip on the second day of Idul Fitri festivity or Lebaran Day. The congestion at Pejagan intersection occurs as it becomes a meeting point of vehicles exiting Kanci Pejagan toll gate from the northern coast of Cirebon to Brebes. Double railway tracks on the intersection increases traffic congestions in the area. Koran Sindo meanwhile writes, Sarajawa's northern coastline congested. Traffic congestion of homebound travelers in the northern line of Sarajawa is increasing 5 days prior to Idul Fitri festivity on Sunday. The congestions occur in several spots such as toll exit of Pejagan, Pemalang in East Brebes, Tegal and Pekalongan. Today, the congestion is predicted to increase along with the increasing homebound travelers entering Sarajawa. Until last night, long queue of vehicles were seen at the exit toll gate of Pejagan Pemalang in Banjaranyar, East Brebes. The congestion occurred because Pejagan Pemalang emergency toll has been operated until last night since it was opened on Saturday, July 11. The meeting of private vehicles going out of Pejagan Pemalang toll gate has made the exit toll of Pejagan Pemalang in East Brebes quite long. And we end today's headline with Koran Republika, which writes homebound travelers dominated by motorists. Entering the fifth day before Idul Fitri festivity 1436 Hijriah, the number of homebound travelers using two-wheeled vehicles has shown an increase. They started to flock in various lines. In Java northern coastlines and Cirebon area, homebound travelers using motorcycles were seen on Jalan Brigjen Darsono since Sunday around 10 a.m. local time. Homebound travelers using motorcycles were also seen in the northern coastlines in Tegal Karang, Cirebon Regency around 9 a.m. local time on Sunday. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Now welcome to News in Brief. PT Pertamina will launch the RON 90 fuel, so-called Pertalite, a week after the Idul holiday, Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said at the Senayan East parking area on Sunday. President Joko Widodo asked the ministers immediately to form Jabodetabek Transportation Authority. President Jokowi said the agency's presence could accelerate the construction and development of transportation in Jakarta and its satellite towns in the vicinity. Indonesian Religious Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin is visiting Saudi Arabia to watch 2015 Hajj preparation. The Workforce Social Security Agency said the revision of government regulation on retirement fund disbursement will not affect the agency's finances. West Java Health Agency has deployed two more mobile ambulances along the newly operated Cipali toll road. The Jakarta authorities have forecast a 3% increase in the number of homebound travelers leaving the capital city to celebrate Idul Fitri, or locally called Idul Fitri Islamic festivities, with relatives in their hometowns. The State Administrative Court of Jakarta is set to call the case between Indonesia Soccer Association and the Youth and Sport Ministry on Tuesday. The Office of State-Owned Port Authority Pelindo 3 at Tanjung Emas Port in Semarang, Central Java, has prepared free transportation facilities to take Idul Fitri sea travelers to several destinations across the province. That was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesia Wonder, this segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit Batam, Pulau Riau Province, Sumatra, to have a close look at Nongsa Beach. Stay tuned. Listeners, Batam is one of 2,400 islands in Riau Islands Province, Sumatra. Today, Batam Island is the third busiest destination in Indonesia, after Bali and Jakarta. Located near Singapore, Batam has various attractions for tourists who want to be close to the nature, to relax on the short holiday, to play golf, or to only spending time with the family. For tourists who want to be closer to the nature, especially the sea, Batam offers various beach tourism and destinations. The most favorite beach among the tourists is Nongsa Beach. Nongsa Beach is located in the northeast of the island. The beach is popular because it is beautiful and there is also a beautiful island named Putri Island close by. Another advantage of the island is it is close to Singapore. From the beach, precisely from Nongsapura Terminal, Singapore can be accessed in only 45 minutes. It is very close so that anybody who is on vacation in Batam can clearly see the high-rise buildings in Singapore. Giant tankers and cargo ships sail back and forth, passing through the sea bordering Singapore and Indonesia, and becoming the part of the attractive scenery you can enjoy during your stay in Batam. Nongsa Beach is quite sandy during low tide. On the beach, you can play on the sand, go swimming, or even ride a banana boat. You can also do aquatic sports such as volleyball or futsal. Besides that, you can satisfy your hobbies such as fishing on a fisherman's boat. If you're at the beach, do not forget to visit Putri Island. For a cheap price, you can sail across to the beautiful island which is located only a few hundred meters from Nongsa Beach. Listener, to go to Nongsa Beach, you can take a taxi or bus, or take public transportation to Jodoh Nongsa from Nagoya City, Batam. From Hang Nadim International Airport, Batam, it takes only 20 minutes. This beach provides complete facility, such as restrooms, parking lots, and mosques. There are also many restaurants which offer typical local food and seafood. There is also lodging with high-class facilities if you want to stay a night. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Nongsa Beach in Batam, Kepulauan Riau Province, Sumatra. We'll meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Bingkisan Lebaran, which is in English means gift for Lebaran. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Berbelanja. Berbelanja, which means shopping. Bermacam-macam. Bermacam-macam, which means variety. Barang. Barang, which means goods. Bingkisan Lebaran. Bingkisan Lebaran, which means Lebaran gifts. Kue tart. Kue tart, which means tart. Tetangga. Tetangga, which means neighbor. Kue kering. Kue kering, which means cookies. Sirup. Sirup, which means syrup. Pembantu laki-laki. Pembantu laki-laki, which means male servant. Sopir.
sopir, which means driver, satpam, which means security, baju muslim, which means Muslim dress, kerudung, which means scarf, mukena, which means mukena, pembantu perempuan, which means female servant, buah-buahan, which means fruits, ibu mertua perempuan, which means mother-in-law, pulang kantor, which means home office. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Bingkisan Lebaran, or in English means Give for Lebaran. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ika at the office. A. Nita. Saya mau berbelanja ke mall untuk membeli bermacam-macam barang untuk bingkisan Lebaran. Saya mau berbelanja ke mall untuk membeli bermacam-macam barang untuk bingkisan Lebaran. Which means, I want to go to mall for shopping to buy various goods for Lebaran's gifts. B. Ika. Kamu mau membeli apa saja, which means, what do you want to buy? Bingkisan lebaran itu untuk siapa saja, which means, who do you want to give the lebaran package? A. Nita. Saya mau membeli kue tart untuk tetangga saya, which means, I want to buy tart for my neighbor. Kue kering, sirup, dan sarung juga untuk pembantu laki-laki, supir, dan satpam. Which means cookies, syrup, and sarong for my male servant, driver, and the security. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli baju muslim, kerudung, dan mukena untuk pembantu perempuan. Which means, besides, I also want to buy Muslim dress, scarf, and mukena, or praying cloth for women, for female servants. Saya ikut ya, which means, I'll join you. Saya juga mau membeli buah-buahan untuk ibu mertua saya. Saya juga mau membeli buah-buahan untuk ibu mertua saya. Which means, I also want to buy fruits for my mother-in-law. A. Nita. Baiklah, pulang kantor, kamu tunggu saya di lobi kantor. Which means, alright, wait for me at lobby after work. B. Ika. Baiklah, sampai nanti. Baiklah, sampai nanti, which means, okay, see you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you an Indonesian female singer, Waljina. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Stambul Jauh di Mata by Waljina. And here is the song.
Di medan perang.
Listener, this song was composed by an Indonesian composer, Ismail Marzuki. The song was composed during the struggle for Indonesian independence. The lyrics tell about the severity of parting with a lover who will go to the battle fronts. My love, go to the battlefield, go fight. I will wait for you forever. Keep your heart for me, and my heart is for you. Be the expectation of my life. Listener, Waljina, a woman who was born in Solo, Central Java, is known as the Queen of Keroncong. Her career in music went off after she became the first winner of Indonesia Radio Star in 1965. Waljina launched a compilation album with another singer. The album, Elingo Beboyo Margo, in 1968, sang together with Elni Kusrini, winner of Indonesia Radio Star 1967, and Sri Rahajeng. Many of her albums were made with Surakarta Keroncong Orchestra that she led. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Harapan Jumpa by Waljina, and happy listening. This song also tells about the parting lovers. The lover went far away without words. Although love is not reciprocated, but hopes to meet always there. Besides the singer Didi Kempot, Waljina also well known in Suriname country and was awarded the Life Achievement Award for her contribution and consistency in the flow of Keroncong in Suriname musical Grace in 2012. Previously in 2002, Waljina also received an art award from Musical Foundation of Harjaningrat in Solo, along with Gesang and other artists. The song Walang Kekek and Jangkrik Genggong Songs catapulted her name in Indonesian music industry. Waljina often sang Gesang, Anjar Ani, and Ismail Marzuki's song. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kalung Mutiara, Fit Gesang, and Meratap Hati. And here are the songs.
ada kukira begini akhir nasibku. Putuskan sudah tali pengikat dia berjanji setia padaku, namun akhirnya kini tinggalkan diriku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.